We're supposed to get to verse 16. We'll see about that. We must push forward. Just quickly in review, in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We talked about last week, hey, he saved you. You owe him. You can say amen to that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, is the fact that you realize you were a lost sinner, you repented of your sin, and the Lord heard you, and the Lord saved you. There's nothing greater than that. So because of all those things, he said, now is the time we get to work. Amen? Amen. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, because you cannot give offense in anything. Now, and we talked about this, and I won't take a lot of time here, but understand this. We cannot give offense in anything, and everybody in the whole wide world that's not a saved person is looking for us to fail. They want us to fail, and sadly enough, even a lot of saved people want you to fail. Now, that's a sad testimony, but it's the truth. A lot of saved people want you to fail. They want you to mess up so they can point a finger at you and say, see, he's not as great a Christian as you thought he was. How sad is that? We are fighting the same battle. We're all pulling on the same rope. We want to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Well, if you can say amen to that, then you don't want your brother to fail. Because if his hands come off the rope, the pulling's harder for you. Amen? We need everybody. Everybody needs to not fail. Now, I'm not saying you will go through your life not failing. I understand that. But we shouldn't be looking for other people to fail, because then it gets you in the mindset of watching for people to fail. And if you're watching for people to fail, you're certainly not focused on Jesus Christ. And if you're not focused on Jesus Christ, you're not pulling on the rope, brother. So we need to make sure that we do not offend, give no offense in anything in the ministry, so the ministry be not blamed. In verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And I started to break this down last week. I'm going to slow down a little bit so we can break this down some. In verse 4, there are four ends here. All of these ends are general terms. In some time in your life, you will be in them. If you pull on the rope, if you give no offense in the ministry, if you work for Jesus Christ, which is your job, you will be needing patience. Don't pray for it, because he'll get it to you. But you will be needing patience. You will be in affliction. I guarantee you, if I asked you to raise your hand, everybody in this room could say at one time or another, they were in great affliction. Okay? You can be in necessities when are needful of things. I guarantee you. Even if it's not monetary things or materialistic things, there's times our spiritual needs things. I'm going to tell you, more times than not, your spiritual needs way before your material needs. Okay? Because a lot of times we will get so engrossed in what we do not have that we forget what we do have. That's an American trait. Okay? The American trait is, I have a car, but I don't have his car. And if I had his car, I'd be so much better off. Let me tell you something. I wish I could get rid of my car and his car. Okay? Understand, we live in a day and age where necessities aren't really a word we use right anymore. Necessities aren't really true. Necessity is air. Necessity is some food. Necessity is people carrying around you. We pretty much all have that in this room. The other things that we have to have that we think we have to have, really do we need to have them? Okay? So there's going to be times in your life where you feel that you're a necessity, and sometimes we will actually be a necessity, but I believe that's more spiritual. We are very needful when it comes to spiritual things in America. Very needful. In distresses, right after the necessities, you don't have those. Where do you go? Right into distress, okay? Stress, in my opinion, is the number one health care issue in America. They say heart trouble is. They say cancer comes right after that. They say we got all these other problems, diabetes and all these other things. I'm telling you right now, if we could really boil it down, I believe almost all of them link directly to stress. Because we get stressed about everything here in America. We are in knots. And you'll see that later on in these verses if we get to it. In necessities and distresses. Those four things right there are four things, just general terms that you'll be in. Look at the next verse. These next few things, six things, three of them are by others, and three of them are by you. Okay, look at these. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. The first three of those are by others, others giving them to you. Would you be willing to go through this? Because there may be a day that comes that we go to this kind of thing. I'm not saying it's today, not saying it's tomorrow, but there could be days that come if you continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Annie had people that almost threw her out of their house because she was preaching the gospel of Christ. Understand this. There's going to be days when less and less people will want to hear that. Less and less. They won't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They've got the stresses. They've got all these other things. And Jesus Christ hasn't helped them before. Why would he help them now? They're going to run you right out. There could be days when stripes come. There could be days when imprisonments come. You say, well, I don't know about that. I guarantee you, you put preacher down in the courthouse lawn there and have him preach the word of God. Oh, he won't get in trouble for freedom of speech. But I promise you this, they'll throw him in jail for causing a riot. They'll throw him in jail for disrupting the peace. Now, if you were a queer and you were sitting down there, yeah, I said queer. If you were a queer sitting down in the front lawn and you were talking about rainbow warriors and you were disrupting the peace and you were having your gang of people, then it would be they're allowed to do that. That's in the Constitution. They're allowed to do that. If you were a Muslim down there and you were preaching Allah and all this other stuff, didn't matter. If you were a Muslim, they'd leave you alone because they're scared to death of you. But if the Baptist preacher goes down there, they throw you in cuffs knowing that you're going to turn the other cheek and put you in jail because you're going to incite a panic. I'm going to tell you, if I see queers down the courthouse lawn, I'm panicking already. What's amazing is we live in a world today where there's going to be these things happening. And what we're trying to do is, would you be ready to deal with this kind of thing if it came? I understand, I think we should be smart. I think we should be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. But I think we should speak out just a little bit more than we do now for our Lord. In tumults, in labors. Now look at the next, in tumults, that's another one that people will give you. People will put on you. Then look at the next few. Labors. In labors. You know, we sometimes forget how hard it is to be Christian and how hard it is to be in your ministry. Now let me reiterate that. You need to hear this. You need to understand. Every person in this room has a ministry. Everyone. Whether you believe that or not, or whether you like to think about that or not, you are involved in a ministry. There are people that look to you. The people around you, if they don't know you're Christian, shame on you. They should know you're Christian. If they do know, they look to you to see, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Christian, with these gas prices? What are you going to do in the face of this opposition that's coming? What are you going to do? How are you going to react? Because the people look to, believe it or not, this world does not want to get rid of us Christians, preacher. This world wants us to stay because we are a backbone to America. We don't flip out in every occurrence. We don't go running off half-cock usually. We usually take a peaceful route. And you know what? We're going to stay right here. It's okay. We've got a solid rock that we're standing on. We don't need to run. Would to God the whole Congress was filled with Christians. We wouldn't have been running this long. See, what's amazing is we will live in this country understanding that these things will happen. These things could happen to us. Would we be willing to stand fast as Christians? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. It's hard work. In watchings. Watchings means insomnia. Think about this for a minute. Has there been a time when you lose sleep over your lost loved ones, your lost friends? Is there times that you lose sleep over your own spirituality? You might say, well, Brother Dave, that's a terrible thing to lose sleep over your own Christianity. No, that not in my opinion, it's not. Because I'll tell you why. If you're losing sleep over who you are towards Christ, at least you're thinking about it. Yeah. A lot of people that are wicked Christians, they got no problem sleeping all night long. I wonder if the Lord has ever woken you up in the middle of the night and said, you know what, it's time for you to get in my Bible. Now, would you crawl out of bed? It's just a thought. I'm just spitballing here. Have you ever woken up and say, maybe it's God's fault that I woke up right now? Maybe it's God's fault because I need to get in my Bible a little bit more. Would you be willing to have watchings? In other words, insomnia. You can't sleep because you're thinking about your current state as a Christian. Because you're going to have these things come in your life. You're going to have these things come. And if you are going to approve ourselves as the ministers of God, that's how this starts out. If you're going to approve yourselves as ministers of God, you're going to have labors. You're going to have watchings. If you're going to approve yourself as a minister of God, you're going to have fastings. Now, fastings are, that's funny. America doesn't like to have their food taken away. But would you be willing to give up your food to have answer to a specific need, to a specific prayer? And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing, you say, why do people fast? I always like this, Brother Rod. Whenever I fast, because I get hungry. I don't know about you, but during the day, I'm hungry, okay? When I fast, for two couple things. One, I don't let anybody else know I'm fasting.
Amen.
Okay? You know, preachers, I hear this all the time. Preachers go, well, bless God, I fasted for 15 days and I stopped on the last day and then the Lord answered a great prayer. I don't think they ought to know that.
Right.
And the reason is your fast is between you and God.
Yes.
The Bible actually speaks specifically about not making yourself look like you're fasting, not letting people know that you're fasting. Okay? And I think that if we're going to fast as Christians, I think we have to have a specific reason to fast. And I think while we're fasting for that specific reason, we ought to look like just like it's any normal day. We ought to tell people like it's any normal day. You can avoid dinner discreetly without making a big issue of it. Are you going to eat dinner? No, I'm not going to eat dinner because I am fasting for the Lord today. Can't do it. I am fasting. Matter of fact, I made a mistake one time, Ruth Hill. Ruth Hill was fasting during the school year. I felt so bad after this happened. But she never brings hardly anything to lunch anyways, but she had nothing for lunch. Didn't dawn on me that this woman is old enough not to forget. And if she does forget, she'll probably go home and get something. Amen. So I'm sitting there talking to her. I said, Ruth, you going to eat anything? She says, I didn't bring anything today. Oh, well, I got food over at my house. I can bring you some food. I can give you something to eat. I just want you to have something. Finally, after me prodding at her for 10 minutes to eat something, she goes, I'm fasting. Oh, sorry, that's what spiritual people do. I forgot about that, you know. But honestly, she made a point not to tell. There's real, real jewel in that if you think about it. Because the fasting is not between you and everybody else.
Right.
Why would you tell anybody that you're fasting? Think about that for a minute. Why would you tell them? The only reason you would tell them is to make yourself look good to them.
Yeah.
The Lord's not going to bless your fast. See, the Lord blesses things that people don't see. You gotta grab your head around this. The Lord blesses things that you do for Him that people don't see. Because that's something that you're doing just for Him and nobody else. If you can find things that you can do that don't put you up in front of people, that don't say, well, bless God, this is what I did today, those are the kind of things that the Lord really grabs a hold of and says, man, I can use this because He's doing it specifically for my glory. And your prayer that you're praying while you're fasting may get answered a lot quicker if you're not barking it out to the whole wide world that you're fasting. If you're saying, I'm fasting for this, Lord, just between you and me, please answer this prayer. And then how good would you feel if the prayer was answered? And you still don't tell anybody about it.
Amen.
See what I'm getting at? Fasting is something that's you. That's yours. Don't let anybody else have it. It's yours. Fasting is actually a gift. God says, if you'll just take this away from you, I will hear you better maybe. Okay? I will bless you more because certain prayers can't get answered without fasting. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we would fast to Him, He would say, you know what? I'm proud of that Christian. I'm going to take care of him in a special way. And how good would you feel if you gave up just that one little thing? What a blessing it is to be able to have fasting as part of our ministry. Because look what it says. Giving no offense in anything, the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, even in your fastings. Look at the next set. We got through the ins. Now we get to the buys. The buys are how you live outwardly, okay? We've got the things that you're, the general things that you'll be in, specific things that you'll be in that are others and also by yourself. Then if you get to the buys, this is how you live outwardly. This is what the world sees. By pureness. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Wouldn't it be great to have some pureness again in America? You can, I'm telling you right now, I am so close to never watching another ball game again on the television, because you can't do it without seeing not pureness. You can't do anything hardly anymore that has anything to do with that stupid TV with pureness. It doesn't exist anymore. And I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where the Lord used to be able to bless pureness. The Lord used to be able to bless holiness. There's hardly any to see anymore. There's hardly any holiness anymore. You get inside your independent fundamental Baptist churches, there's a smattering of people that care about pureness. Your teenagers, I'm going to guarantee you fill these first five rows, hardly any of these teenagers anymore know anything about pureness. And how great is it to have the conscience clean enough to know what is pure? I know that sounds silly and simple, but understand this. Pureness is so far away from us anymore. We don't even know what it looks like.
Right. Amen.
We talk about pureness being kids staying virgin and not having sex. Yes. That is just part of pureness. Your pureness can start right here in your mind.
Yes.
With what you think. You don't have to commit fornication to have fornication in your mind.
Right.
You don't have to commit fornication to not be pure here in your thoughts towards others.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, you look for faults in each other. That's not pure thinking.
Right.
When is the last time you stopped looking for a motive that something your brother was doing? Well, he's doing that. There's got to be a motive there. He wouldn't be that nice on purpose. Where's the pureness? Where's the gentle as doves thinking as Christians anymore? We've walked so far away, preacher, from what the pureness actually is and what it actually... Man, think of white. White is pure. What does your uniform look like in your life? Oh, Brother Dave, this is just not Sunday school. Oh, it is.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, we need to pick these verses apart because these verses are so important. Are you being willing to show yourself as pure to a world that needs your pureness? This world needs your pureness. It needs the pureness that you get from Jesus Christ. That's the pureness that this country needs. Not only by your pureness, by your knowledge. And that does not mean looking smart in front of everybody. You need to know about Christ. You need to know what this word says. That outward knowledge that you know what Jesus Christ is talking about. Annie, when you get kicked out of that house, it wasn't because of your knowledge. Because you went over there telling them about her Savior. They may get mad. They may put their hand up. They may throw you out of their house, but understand, they're not kicking you out. They're kicking him out.
That's right.
Because that knowledge that you're bringing that knowledge of Jesus Christ to them. That knowledge that somebody imparted to you, that's the biggest kick I get out of people that don't want to tell people about Christ. How did you find out?
Right.
You found out through somebody, through their knowledge that they passed on to you. Glory to God, we should pass it on to somebody else.
Amen.
It may not be knocking door to door. It may not be doing this and that, but it can be somebody you know telling them about Jesus Christ. Do you know the majority of the people that come into church from soul winning are the people that you know that you tell about Christ?
That's right.
And it's vast majority. It's not even close. I promise you, it's the vast majority are people that you know. That you know. People that you know. The people that know you and know that you're a Christian and know that you're pure and know that you want to lead a good life and know that you're focused on Christ. The people that you know. And you go to those people and say, I want to tell you about my Savior.
Amen.
And when's the last time you went to somebody like that and said, you know what, I'm strapped to tell you about Jesus. Kind of my job. And you probably don't want to hear about him or anything, but here it is. Here's a track. How do you feel about your Lord? How is your heart about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you found out that Grady Sizemore was traded, you'd be running. Woo! Brother Mike, did you know that Grady Sizemore was traded to my favorite ball team? Because you love Grady Sizemore. Brother Mike, did you know that Jesus Christ saved my soul?
Amen.
When was the last time you were excited that Jesus Christ saved your sorry self?
Yeah. Right.
This is simple. Oh, this is so simple. Brother Dave, you're just not a very smart fella. I like my life to be kissed. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
If you keep your life simple, stupid, it will make your life very much more rewarding.
Yes.
If you don't get yourself all entwined and all wrapped up in the affairs of this world and keep it simple, your life is so much better.
Yeah.
How are Christians happy? They've only got one thing to live for. Think about that. They've got one thing to live for. You say, well, I got my family to live for. Who gave you your family? You got one thing to live for, man. That's Jesus Christ. And you should be excited that he gave you what you have. A lot of people have come through more things. Hey, I came through a few things as a Christian. I lived my life through a few things. Not proud of them, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord brought me through. No doubt about it, the Lord protected my life. And a lot of people say, well, dude, he protects your life because you're a preacher. Hogwash. He protected my life because he loves me, and he loves you too. And he can protect your life even when you're being dumb. He can protect your life all through your life, all the way over to here. And when he brings you over here, you're protected and living a life for him. Give him credit when you get here.
Yes.
Well, when you get here, say, man, thank you, Lord. Don't sit here and tell everybody, well, bless God, I came through the dregs. I lived my life very difficult. I was an alcoholic. I brought myself through some drug abuse, and I lived through some crises at home. My father beat me and all those. And all those are terrible things. But I wonder if God had his hand on you anytime.
Yeah.
And I applaud your fortitude if you live through those things. But Jesus deserves the credit because he did bring you through.
Yes.
And we need to focus outwardly more on him so other people see it. By your long suffering, especially as a Christian, your long suffering. Because in Christianity, if you're a long-suffering person, it's good because you're going to need it for how other Christians treat you. You're going to need it for how other Christians that are Christians with the on over top of them, they're going to treat you badly. It happens. And you're going and here's what you have to do. And I'm real hot. I apologize for this, but I'm real hot. The Christians that we talked about earlier that come in here that can't wait for you to fall are the Christians you're going to have to be long-suffering for. They're the ones that you're going to have to understand why they're here. They're here because they're not necessarily today looking for a blessing. Those are the people that you might want to fast and pray for. Because they need to come to church looking for the blessings that Christ can give, not looking for the blessings that they can receive from other people. And I know this is hard to conceive, but understand this. There's been times when people say bad things about other people, and I've been one of those a lot, okay? I've said things that are just amazed me that I ever said them. And if you'd be honest, you did too. If you'd be honest, you'd say, you know what? I have said some bad things about people and I probably should have never said. And in a moment, you get all so mad. Bless God, that's just how he is. If you'd be honest with yourself. When you get to a point in your life, when you let the Lord start to bless and you do all those things that we talked about before and that pureness starts to come. I'm telling you, preacher, pureness, having a pure heart, that is a lost art, man. We need more of that today. Having a pure heart. To where you're not looking for motive. You're not looking. That's where long-suffering comes in. Well, bless God, Brother Carl Smith said something about me again. I'm not real happy about that. But I know Brother Carl's heart. I know he's got a pure heart. Maybe he's just trying to help me. Maybe he's just trying to make my life easier, maybe. Maybe he's trying to get me to see something. Here's the thing. You got to be able to separate, Brother Fred. You got to be able to separate criticism from doubt chopping you down. Because understand this, maybe criticism would help if you'd hear it. See, a lot of times, preacher has a way of helping me to stay straight, okay? He stands alongside of me when I start going like this. He smacks me back over, and I get back over here, and I go over here, and he smacks me back over, start going straight again. I could take that in two ways. Now listen to me, you got to hear this. I can take that in two ways. One way, I could take that as, man, he's just an ogre, and I'm sick of working for him. Or I can take it as, maybe he wants my life to succeed. Maybe he wants me to stay on the straight and narrow. Maybe those criticisms are for my benefit.
Amen.
That's long suffering. That's long suffering because you're not in a place yet where you can just say, bless God, I don't have to suffer long anymore. I'm in a place where I don't have to do that. Understand, that place is heaven. You're not there yet.
Right.
So you're going to have to be long suffering while you're here because understand, people are having bad days. If I asked you to raise your hand if you're having a bad morning, I'd be scared to death. Because there's probably a lot of us that are having bad mornings. Look at the time, Brother Dave. It's Sunday and it's 10:15 and we're not on a Sunday school yet. But there's times that we live our lives that, hey, our days are going bad. We may say things that we don't mean. We may do things that we don't want to do. But understand this, if we're long-suffering Christians, we will ignore or at least take that in and say, it's okay. They must be having a bad day. I still love them. How many relationships, Brother Mike Timms, have been broken because we can't say, it's okay, I forgive you, let's move on. How many of them have been broken? Because they just don't have it in their heart. Because understand this, Christ wants you to forgive. If you're not long-suffering enough to do that, whose side are you on? These are the things that you show to the world. Kindness. We should show kindness.
Yes.
Jesus showed kindness. I think we ought to show kindness.
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost. Not kindness of yourself. Kindness of the Holy Ghost who resides in you. By love unfeigned. That is not counterfeit. Real life love. Not love that you look somebody in the eye lying to them. You don't love them. I love you, brother, and you hate them. If you had a knife, you'd just be putting it right in their back while you're just giving them a hug. Real love. A love that says, I love you and I want to help you through this problem. Well, I talked bad about you. I still want to help you through this problem. Well, I stole from you. It's okay. I want to help you through this problem. I did bad things to you. I want to help you because I love you, because my heart is pure, and because I care. You get a church full of people that love each other and want to do things, not counterfeit. You're going to see a great revival in your church. Verse 7, this is where you stand outwardly. The one with how you live, now this is how you stand. Look at the stance you have to take. By the word of truth.
Right there.
Don't leave the scripture, brother. Don't trade it off for something else. Oh, this is easier to understand. More people hear me. Hogwash. Why would you want them to hear you read perverseness? Why would you want them to hear you read something that's not true scripture? If you're going to read something to them, brother, read the King James Bible.
Yeah.
That's the word of truth. And by the way, it doesn't say by the words of truth like there's lots of them. By the word of truth. If you're holding the King James Bible, you're holding that in your hand today.
Yes.
By the power of God. Interesting how those go together.
Mm-hmm.
By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Do your best to live your life righteous. Gives you an armor of protection around you. Don't, I tell you what, Brother Mike, if I don't ever tear you up, you won't ever come after me. Why in the world do people hate me? Why in the world do you talk about people? That's good preaching.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are mad at me all the time. It's just disgusting. Then you go over here and say, man, Brother Rod Black is a real meanie. I wonder why Brother Rod Black doesn't like you. Real simple. If people don't like you, then you feel bad. If you like people, talk good about them, they're going to like you. Interesting how that works. Here's a good way to stop it. You know the gossips in this church. I guarantee you know them. They're the people that walk around, can't wait to talk about other people. When they come up and talk to you about people, grab them by the arm and say, let's go find out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That will work.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you let them sit there and talk to you, you let them sit there and tell, you are participating just as much in what they're saying as what you're hearing. And I promise you, you live your life like that, you're going to get people coming into this church that can't wait to see you fail. Well, bless God, they think that goody two-shoes. I can't wait till they trip over those goody two-shoes and fall flat on their face. You know why I know this? Because I was the person that talked. I'm telling you, I have no problem with that. I have faults, lots of them. It's amazing that preachers are the only ones that are willing to admit that. I'm filled with faults. And understand this, I don't want people to come up and say, well, Brother Fred Davis, he only comes on Sunday morning, he's not worth nothing. Grab a hold of him and say, let's go find out from Brother Fred. How do you think they'd face Brother Fred if they said, well, Brother Fred, you don't come on Sunday morning, you're not worth nothing. As he's jacking their jaw and they're picking themselves up off the ground, I think that would be a little bit different, wouldn't it? Let's go gossip face to face and see how they like it. Man, that's good Sunday school. Then verse 8. Even in the comparisons of the world to you. Now listen to this. You live outwardly. This is how the world compares you. It's crazy. Listen to this. By honor and dishonor. They'll think even in your being honorable that you're dishonorable. Listen to this now. By evil report and good report. Look at it. Starts out approving ourselves as ministers of God by honor and dishonor. Approving ourselves as ministers of God by evil report and good report. No matter what report comes of you, approve yourself as a minister of God. No matter what. Don't partake in, he said something about me, I'm going to nail him. Stop it right there. Say, you know what? He said something bad about me, but I love him. He's a good person. Evil report, good report. Turn it right around. Heap coals of fire on their head. I love that verse. Evil report, good report. As deceivers and yet true. Ooh, that's good stuff. You will be looked at as a deceiver. You're lying to me about Christ. No, I'm not. What I'm telling you is true. And people may look at you as a liar. And I know, let God be true and every man a liar. But they may look at you that way, yet you're speaking truth as a minister of God. As unknown, I love this. Look at this now. As unknown and yet well known. I know that a lot of people don't know Carl McDaniel. And I pick on him a lot because he's my hero. Say what you want. He's my hero. I don't care. You say it's wrong to have heroes? You go take your posters off your wall. I love that man as one of my heroes. Amen. You stay steadfast in the faith that long, I promise you, you'll be my hero too. Amen. I want you to see this. Unknown and yet well known. They don't know him outside of this church, hardly. Maybe in Portage County a few people know him. But I bet you I know a crowd that knows him well.
Yeah.
And I bet you there's a crowd that cheers him on. And I bet you there's a crowd that can't wait for him to succeed. I bet you there's a crowd out there that loves Brother Carl and they know him, all his stats. They know all of the things he does. They watch his batting average as a Christian, amen. And that crowd that I'm talking about is not an earthly crowd. That crowd that I'm talking about is up in heaven. Have you considered my servant, Carl McDaniel? Have you looked at him? Because I know the world's looking at him, and the world doesn't see much when they look at Brother Kyle. The world sees a 120-pound man that doesn't do much, and anybody that isn't much for the world. But glory to God, he's a whole heap for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care about getting worldly accolades. I don't care about getting all those things. But I do care about getting accolades from my Savior.
Amen.
And there's a whole crowd up in heaven right now that says, Brother Dave, preach it. This is Sunday school. It's supposed to be a little quieter. I will have you know, I don't have a lick of teach in me. I'm all preacher. That's all I am. And let me tell you something. I'm proud that the Lord has used me. And I am proud that I've got a whole cheering section that knows me well. Because the Bible says I may not be known, and you may not be known, and they may not be known, but God knows who they are.
Yeah.
And he knows them well.
Yeah.
As dying, and behold, we live. We're talking about our church being alive today. The whole world around you dying, yet we live. Everything around us is dying, yet we live. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I'm so thankful that we live. As chastened and not killed. I see, now that's the sad part for a Christian. We take chastening as bad. Your chastening's not bad. I promise you. It's something that you need because we're too dumb to follow Christ perfect. He's got to help us. And so Christ helps us with some chastening. We don't sometimes recognize it as that. Sometimes we recognize it, Brother Rod, as punishment. There's a difference between punishment and chastisement. Chastisement, I love you and I want you to be successful. Punishment is I'm just going to beat you up. So understand this, that the Lord wants you to be successful. And if you're going the wrong way, how do you get back on the right way? He turns you around and chastens you and says, hey, listen, Christian, I want you to do right. And if you're doing right, it's a lot easier to live for him. Let's go on. We got a lot to cover. And I know the last bell's about ready to be rung here. In verse 10, as sorrowful, look at these next words. yet always rejoicing. Now, you live in this world for a little bit. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even turn the news on. If you watch the news, stop. It's killing you.
Yeah.
It's tearing your life up. Don't watch the news. They've got nothing to say to you. Nothing. If you want, all they tell you is bad stuff. Why in the world do you need to hear bad stuff? It's ridiculous. The Lord's in control. Good or bad, He's in control. If He's in control, then what are we worried about?
Amen.
As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And I like this next thing. I like this next thing. And you need to see this. This is it. I promise I'll end. As poor, does it say yet rich? I want you to see this. Now, it's good preaching. You need to wrap your head around what I'm about to say here. As poor, but I'm rich. Is that what that says? No. It says, as poor, yet making many rich.
Amen.
Well, that's good stuff, Brother Dave. Thank you. I'm going to tell you right now, why are we so worried about gathering so many things down here? Let's give some away. Why do we support so many missionaries? Because we may not have much money here at Bethel, but we're going to help to make them rich. And that's monetary. How about their spirits?
Yeah.
I may be poor. I may not have a lot. But I want to help to make everybody else I can rich. The Lord didn't say He wanted to make you rich. The Lord didn't say He wants to help you get gain. The Lord says, I want you to help others get gain. You know, it's amazing. If we would work on helping everybody else, eventually it would come back. Isn't that good? If you make many around you rich, how long would you stay poor? Boy, that's good stuff. Because think about it. The way that they did in the Old Testament, everybody brought their stuff together and was divided equally among the people. Now, I know that's a lot of people, that's communism, brother. In a utopia, though, that's good stuff. In a utopia where you don't have anybody corrupt at the top, you've got Jesus there. Jesus takes all the stuff in and gives it out everybody equally. And he would always do that. How wonderful would it be that your talents were used to help others and others' talents were used to help you? How long would you stay poor if you loved enough to make others rich? How do you do that, Brother Dave? There's one person that's got the money. I wonder if we should tell people about him. As having nothing, but Christian, you possess everything. Now, I'm going to end right there, and I want you to think with me. All the nice vehicles, all the nice houses, everything in the world that you could own, where's it going when you die? Nowhere. It's staying where it is. Because you've got an inheritance waiting for you that surpasses all. Don't worry about what this world has to offer. It's got nothing to offer you, Christian. It's a lot easier to approve ourselves as the ministers of God knowing that we don't need anything from this world to succeed. Because we may have nothing, but we possess all things. Thank God He's given us ownership of all things. What a great Savior we serve.
Yes.
Should the church be alive today? Are you kidding me? We're the ones that are chasing, yet we live. We're the ones that are dying, yet we live. We're crazy, peculiar people. We're nuts. But God loves you today, and we survive together through Him. Please hear those words. Hear the words of this. This is a tremendous chapter. Understand, that's what he wants from us. He wants us to realize we have nothing, but we still possess everything. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity that it was to teach Sunday school. I love preaching. Lord, I thank You so much for giving me the opportunities to do this. Lord, please be with these people today. Let them know this world can't get rough enough for us. It can't get bad enough for us. Because, Lord, we don't have anything, but we have everything. Because, Lord, the world is nothing to us. This is nothing. It's all temporal here. And doesn't matter what happens, Lord, we still have the victory. It's already been given to us. And I thank You for that. And because of those things, Lord, I think we can live outwardly correctly. I think we can live inwardly correctly. And I think, Lord, that You'll help us to do just those things. Lord, be with us today. Let us have a great service. Anoint my preacher this afternoon. Anoint him, Lord. Let him preach with Your power. And, Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
break the